All right, so if you've been at Emmaus for any amount of time or we're here since we started and we're, you know, initially Journey Church, this message is nothing new. you know, we've been about this since day one, really simplifying things and reminding us that it's not about us, it's about Him. And it's always been our desire to be a congregation that, in a sense, is swimming upstream against the consumerism that we find in our world and in Christianity particularly. But the problem is if you don't continue to swim against the cultural current of Christianity in America, it's like you said in the beginning of that video, you begin to drift. And all of a sudden, it starts to become about us. And this is Francis Chan, and it's kind of a promotion for his new book, which is called Letters to the Church. It's a great book. It's one of the best books I've read recently. But it really is a call to just get back and simplify church and remind us of what the gospel is about. And I just think that's really important, especially today. I want to emphasize that as we are getting ready to send Gia and Regina Carr off to Fort Lauderdale to plant another church. You know, what is that all about? I want to remind us what it's all about. I want to make sure that they understand what it's all about. And it's not all about the things that we often think it's about. Because, you know, like we go into a church and we judge it by how good the music is or how good the youth program is or how good is the pastor. And we judge it by that and we forget that there is no it to judge. We are it, right? We're the church. And so it's about us. Last week, if you were here, we talked about just the depth of the good news of the gospel. We were going through this series in Galatians, and Paul is fighting against people who are trying to change the gospel. And so we talked about the good news, and the good news for you and for me, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose from the dead, so that we could be reconciled to God, be in a right relationship with God. Well, that's good news. It's good news for me. It's good news for you. We talked about how because of that, God empowers us with his Spirit. He gives us new life, and that's good news for us, right? It's great for us. We talked about that God then adopts us as his children because he loves us, and that's all good news for us. But the message has to be, we have to be reminded, it's not all about us. He does that for us for a reason. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 15. Paul writes, "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer," say it with me, "live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So he does all this great stuff for us. He reconciles us to the Father. He gives us new life. He adopts us into his family, but he does that not so that we can be selfish and go, okay, so what else you got for me, God? You know, you got a good church with some good music. Are you going to give me more of what I want? No, he does that so that those who receive all of that good news and embody that they would now no longer live for themselves and live for him and bring change to the world. And so I just want to make sure that we remember that as a congregation. Because even though this is truth and we say it over and over again, somehow, you know, in America, we've become so accustomed to church being a place where we have all of our needs catered to. And it's not about that. It's about him. It's about a gathered group of people coming together and loving God first and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's about serving one another. It's about loving one another. And here's the thing, and I love it. It's one of the things that Francis Chan talks about in his book. He goes, man, if we as the church, you know, you and me and people sitting around you, if we start doing the things that we're supposed to do, like you really love God and you make choices that honor God, and then you love the people around you, like the people in our congregation, you would be willing to lay down your life for people. You'd be willing to sacrifice for people. If you start doing that, then the world takes notice, right? Because the world starts going, why is that happening in there? Why do people who look differently come together under this one place and come together as a church? Why do people who have very different backgrounds fellowship together? Why do they sacrifice for one another? I mean, that's what was happening in the early church. So if we want the church to be attractive, it's not by all the bells and whistles and all that we can do from up here. It's about us and it's about our hearts. It's about loving God and loving the people around us. When we start doing that, man, then the people on the outside go, I want some of that. Because quite frankly, our music, our entertainment, it'll never measure up to what's out there. And God never called us to do that. It's great. I love the fact that we have a band. I love the fact that we can be in a room like this. But it's not about that. It's got to be about Him, and it's got to be about our hearts being turned towards Him. And so today we have the privilege of taking a couple who have been a part of our family for the last year and being a blessing to them and sending them out to do what God's called them to do. But the last thing I want to do is send Guy and Regina to South Florida thinking that, okay, in order to be a successful church, you need to do this and do that. You need to look like the church down the road or be better than what they do so people will be attractive. No. What you need to do is you need to love God, love your neighbor, love the people around you, gather a group of people, start in your home, love those people, let those people love one another, and let them reach out to the community, sow the seeds of the gospel, the good news that we all have, and then trust God to plant His church. And I just don't want that pressure to be on them to have to produce something. So Guy and Regina, if you guys will come on up. And these moments are always bittersweet to me. Because Guy and Regina have been part of our congregation for the last year. And now they're getting ready to leave us. But I want to have them share a little bit, and then in just a little bit, we're gonna pray over them and kind of send them, commission them, ordain them for what God has in store for them. But so maybe just start by just anything you want to say to the. It's not like it's the last time you'll talk to the community here, but anything you want to say just about the last year and what that's meant to you guys, and as you get ready to go, what the next steps are.
Mic starts working. All right, we're hot. Praise the Lord. First of all right. You know, we want to give glory to God. All glory, all honor, all praise, all adoration is due to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And by His Spirit, He is the one who calls, who sets people apart. And it's not something that somebody takes on themselves. It is truly, truly the Holy Spirit working in people to surrender their entire life and say, wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. In 2007, the Lord spoke to me concerning ministry, and it was very scary at the time. Again, 2009, as clear as I could hear, as clear as I could sense Him, He spoke to me again at that time in 2009 and says, Gia, I want you to be a great teacher of my word, a great planter of my churches, and a great builder of leaders for my kingdom. And so we began a process. We began a journey. Those words spoken to me and combined with the words in Matthew 28 where He says, go and make disciples of every ethnic group. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And then He gave us a great promise that He's going to be with us to the end, as long as we're doing that. And so we have committed, my wife and I have committed ourselves to that. And the seed of New Creation Church comes out of those words, the combination of the words spoken to me personally by the Lord and the combination of the Great Commission. And out of that, the Lord has been leading us. And about a little over a year ago, He led us right here. We walked in off the street, not knowing anybody. And you guys embraced us like family. You loved on us like family. And ever since then, you've supported us. You know, I'm not going to get into calling names. I'm not going to get into saying different people, different families. But you all know what you've all done and how you've invested in us. And I can say I thank you, and I do thank you, but above all, I give all glory to God because it's the Lord working in you to allow somebody to just walk in and you embrace them like that. It's only the Holy Spirit that can make that happen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's give him all praise, all credit. Let's give him applause. All the praise, all the applause due to Jesus Christ. And so the Lord has led us. It's interesting. So we came here, we met Vic and got introduced and with him, and we were going to Expo, and he said, hey, I'm going there too. And so he took us, we went there, and then he connected us with Converge, and we met all of Converge staff. We met Ernie and his wife, who's here today with us. And ever since then, my wife and I have been through the whole process from going through Expos 2017 to going through the assessment, Church Assessment Center, where they assess us, spend a week in Orlando, a whole rigorous week, almost 12 hours a day. You know, we've been through all of this, and the Lord has led us here. All of that has led to this. You know, right now, where we are now, right now, I'm looking for a job in South Florida. And as soon as I get a job, I'm going to be transitioning over there. And God willing, by the end of the year, my family will follow me and join us after we get a house and you know, get established there. But as soon as I get a job, hopefully within the next month or so, I'm going to be heading down to hit the ground running. We have a little team already there, and this is the most encouraging thing. We're not there yet, and we already have few people. And there's a lot more people who are interested and have expressed interest. And so it's just amazing how the Lord is already working. He's building his team already. We have people who are very excited and already started sending me buildings and things like that. They're actually ready to get there working also. It's only God that's doing that. And so again, I thank everybody. I thank you all. We need your support continuously. And you can get involved in this process also. You know, we need you to pray for us. It's not over. There's a long road ahead. There's a long road ahead. We need you to pray for us constantly. We need prayer poured over us daily. So all of you, I'm asking you for your prayer. You know, and ministry costs money. We also need you to give. Those of us who want to partner with us through prayer, through giving, we have a sign-up sheet out there. You can put your name, your phone number and email address, and we will reach out to you. And we need people. We need people. Ministry is not a one-man job. It's a team sport. Amen? It's a team sport. So we need people to partner with us. We need people. If anybody here, and I'm sure Vic won't mind me saying this, if anybody here wants to pack up and move down to Pompano Beach with us, we're more than happy to have you join us. We're doing a multi-ethnic church. That's something that God has put in my heart ever since. Before even going to Bible school, the Lord put that in my heart, and it's never left me, so I know it's him. You know, I'm originally from Africa, and I always have this thing in my head that if God wanted me to pastor a church of all people that look just like me, he would have left me in Africa. But he brought me here in a nation where all the nations of the world are coming here.
Yeah.
You know, in a place where I went to high school, where people from all over the world that look different are coming. So we want to do a multi-ethnic church. If you have family in South Florida, in Pompano Beach, in Fort Lauderdale, Deerfield, Coconut Creek, Margate, wherever those areas, Broward County, if you have any family down there, if you have any friends down there who would be interested in a multi-ethnic church plant, let them get in touch with me or give them my number. We're going to be out here after service. If anybody want to talk to us or ask questions. But we need people. So we need your support. We need you to pray. We need you to give. And we need you to join us. All right? That's where we are now. And we're looking forward. Again, like I said, like Vic says, we're looking forward to the church. The church. New Creation Church. By God's grace. New Creation Church. The church that God has led us to start. It's a church that, I don't call it just a church. It's interesting, we've been talking about Acts 2 and what the church really is. I'm glad that came up before we came up. Because as we envision it, as the Lord has shown it to me, the church is not just a place where you come to. It's not just something that you do several days a week. The church, as it started in the book of Acts, was a movement. It was a spirit-led Holy Spirit-led movement. It was a gospel-centered movement. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God. And the power of God transforming people, bringing them out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is a movement. It started as a movement. And the more they were persecuted, the more they grew. So New Creation Church, we're going out there as a movement, not just a stale church. We're going out there as a movement, a Spirit-led, gospel-centered movement of the Lord going to be planted in Broward County in Pompano Beach, Florida. We need you to come along with us. As it's already been said, there are those who go, there are those who sin, and there are the disobedient, right? All right. So which one are you going to be?
That's good.
No pressure.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, yeah. Here, we make sure to turn it on.
You know, I get very excited sometimes when I get up here, but I cannot ignore my sweetheart has always been with me. You guys know she's very talkative. But yeah, you know, very quiet spirit, but this is the person that the Holy Spirit uses to keep me on track. You know, sometimes she will give me some advice, and I'm like, that's what it says in the Bible. And she didn't get it from the Bible. It only can come from one place. So we are going together as one flesh, as the Lord is leading us. And I thank God for her. Always, just like Sarah, she said, baby, God has called you, and I'm here to support you. Wherever you say go, we are going. And that's her heart. So we thank God for her. I thank God for her always.
Amen. You want to say anything? You don't have to. I'm just...
my husband always described me as somebody who don't talk. But I always say that as long as I have a voice, and God gave me a mouth, and God who make me and brought me to a pastor, I'm going to talk. And one day he told me, oh, one day you're going to preach. I said, if God says so, God will give me everything that I needed to talk. But I just want to thank God because God brought us in this church. When 2016, when my husband said God called him to start a church, and when we started the church, there was just us as a family. And later on, we have just one person that came to join us. And then later on, the person left, and we... So every day we go to church, nobody else, just us. We, on weekend, during the week, we do evangelize, we give out paper tracts to people. We even have like a video, but when we do movies, people come. But when on Sunday comes, nobody. And that really answered the frustration of my husband. And I always told him that if you say God ask you to start a ministry, you don't have to look at the number. The number will come. We just have to do it. But standing there and feel discouraged because you didn't see nobody on Sunday, just us, it just don't look good, you know. So, and every day my husband would be praying, reading Bible. I go to work, I come home, I see my husband in the corner reading the Bible. When I'm sleeping awake, I see my husband praying every time, either praying or reading the Bible. He will pray and ask God to bring people. And he even prayed for me because sometimes he didn't see me, the kind of zeal he has. He didn't see it on me. I say, if God says so, let's just do it. Let it be a natural thing, you know. And he started praying to God to do a heart transplant on me for God. I said, I am a nurse. I know what that means, a heart transplant. You can't pray for me. Change your language, you know. I said, don't pray for me that way to God to do a heart transplant for Jesus so that I can have the fire on me. And I said, you don't know what I have inside. Am I not just open like you do or other people? So as time goes on, nobody in the church. And then I said, well, he told me that we have to stop and let us go join a church that we can see how they are doing. Maybe we are not doing the right thing. And we started praying about it. We don't even know nobody here in Emmaus. We don't have no friend here, nobody. But within that time, while we're thinking of going to a church so that we can learn, we can see how maybe we miss something. And then he said, we have to go to Emmaus. We don't know nobody here, no friend here, nobody invited us. So I think it's just a sign he saw there. And then we came here. And as like Romans 8 verse 28 said, all things work for good to those that love God. And that's how it happened. God provided everything that we needed. Provide Emmaus, he provide Converge, and now he directs us the way to go. So now I can't wait, because wow. I just want to see how the next step will be, because I know how it was. Now we have all this learning, all these people that came to us, even me. God provide, because he always want me to read the Bible. And God provide Bob. Bob just volunteered to give us the Bible study that we go on Wednesdays and Saturday. And I really know that Bible study is not for him, it's for me, that God provided so that I can know more. You know, so God provide everything, and I'm just, sometimes it kind of like feel nervous, and sometimes you don't know that, but sometimes I want to get fear of what is the next, is it going to be, but I'm thinking that it's going to be better than before. Because I can see what God have done for us in our life, and God, what God have provided for us to grow.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to ask the leadership team guys to come up. Ernie, if you'll come on up. Some of you probably don't know that story, but Gia and Regina started, they tried to start a church here in Jacksonville, just in their home. He had he had Bible school, but no training on planting a church. He just was like, let's open our house and get people in here. And so, they struggled at that. And then when we met, the connection was that we're a church planting church. And they didn't know that when they came here. And so now he's been trained, it's been modeled for him, and God's just prepared them to go and do what he's called them to do. So it's just so awesome to see. And so what's going to happen right now is we're going to pray over them. I'm going to give you a little backdrop for this. They call this ordination kind of formally, but what we find in the scripture is, I would call it a commissioning. It's a sending out in the authority of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verses 1 to 3, we see this happen with Paul and Barnabas. This scripture will come up on the screen. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius, and Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they prayed and fasted, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And so it's kind of like as we've been with them and helped them and equipped them however we can, and now by all the authority and whatever God's given us as a sending church, we want to lay our hands on them, pray for them, and ask God to empower them to do what he's called them to do. And so if you would join with us as we pray over Gia and Regina and ask God's blessing on the work to do. If you guys will pray, and then I'll close this in just a moment. Let's pray together.
I actually was praying about this last night, and I felt like the Lord led me to a scripture, and some things popped out on this. This is 1 Chronicles 12. This is a time when David was still on the run, and the scripture says in verse 22, "For at that time they came to David," talking about the men that would fight side by side with him. "They came to David day by day to help him until it was a great army like the army of God." And in 33, it goes on to say, "Stout-hearted men who would keep ranks, those who could go out to war and be able to keep battle formation. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali were bringing food on donkeys and camels and mules and oxen, provisions of flour, cakes of figs, cakes of raisins, wine and oil, and of oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel." And I felt like the Lord was saying that there is a time and there is a place. And the time is now, and the place is where he's called you to. And when you get there, all of the provision will be provided. All of the people. Not just people, but guys that will stand and hold the ranks with you. Hold the line. People you can lean on and depend upon that will go through this with you. And then later on, David was tempted to count his army and his provisions. And I feel like the Lord is reminding us of that. "So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, 'Now go throughout all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and count the people, that I may know the number of the people.' And Joab said to the king, 'Now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times more than there are. And may the eyes of my Lord the king see it.'" And I feel like the Lord's saying, don't look at your resources. Don't look at what is as it is today. Don't inventory your giftedness or preparedness. For the Lord will add 100 times more than there are currently. And so that's my prayer this morning, Father, that you would continue your work. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would bring the people around them to lift them up. I thank you, Lord, that the provision is already there. And they literally just have to step into it, Father. So I just pray that peace, that courage, all of those things will be upon them, Father God, as they move forward into this battleground that you've called them to. In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for the great time we've had together with Guy and his family here. What a blessing to us. When I think of Guy, I think the first word that hits my mind is servant. And I just thank you for his servant heart and just encouragement to all of us. It's encouraging to hear that folks are already getting ready for their arrival. And that was going to be my prayer today, that there'd be those key individuals and families that would step up arm in arm with them and be ready to go in the ministry and to bring the good news. And just thank you for them now, in Christ's name.
Father, it's already been said, Father, that you'll go forth into the world and make disciples of all men. And Father, we thank you that your words would flow through both Gia and Regina, Father, to make disciples of all people that they come in contact with. And Father, I just want to remind them that the word also says that the husbands, you shall love your wives, and wives, you shall respect your husbands. We send you forth to make disciples of all men. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Gia and Regina, Lord. I pray that you would also take care of their family. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to provide for them the things that are necessary, Lord. You have called them, Lord, into this work. Lord, as the Apostle Paul has shared to the other disciples in 2 Timothy 2:2, Lord, I pray that Gia would be able to find faithful men, Lord, who would entrust the gospel, Lord, into their hands, Lord, that there'd be generations after him, Lord, who are faithful, that you would allow him to be a disciple maker, Lord, who would be true to your word, to the gospel, and to be able to propagate the gospel, Lord, to the rest of the earth, Lord, so that we would see more people come to faith, Lord, so that you would build your family, and in the fullness of time, Lord, you would come back for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, and we give all the blessing and honor to you, and we pray now for blessing and favor to this family. In Jesus' name we pray.
God, we thank you so much for this couple, and we thank you for your word that encourages us, that challenges us, and we've talked many times today about Matthew 28 and that command to go. God, you said, as you walked the earth, you said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. That was the command because you had the authority, Jesus. And along with that command, you said, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that's the promise, and we thank you for that. And I pray for Gia and Regina that they would never forget that promise, Lord God, that you are with them, that you are for them, Lord, that it's you who will build your church, and all they need to do is sow the seeds of the gospel. And the gospel is the power of salvation to all who would believe. They don't have to create something. They don't have to attract people. What they need to do is love people and share the gospel, and then you do what you do, God, and we thank you for that. And so, God, we stand here together, and everyone in this congregation is witnesses to their faithfulness, and we thank you for them, and we pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, God, that you would fill them to overflowing, that as they go, they have something to offer the people there, Lord, that your church would be planted, what you desire would take place, there'd be a beacon of hope and light in that area. God, we pray that you would use them mightily and that you would get all the glory, God. God, we thank you, we bless you, and we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Levi. Amen. God bless you guys. For those of you who don't know, Ernie Cabrera is the executive minister of Converge Worldwide in our district here. And so he's been played a key role in helping prepare Gia and Regina as well. All right, we're going to sing this last song. I'm going to ask you guys if you would stand with us. We're going to worship together. And as we do, let us all be reminded of the love that God has for us. And the one thing I want to make sure that we don't miss here, because we have Brock and Carrie come up and they share a mission moment, and you see all that's done in Guatemala and Honduras, and then we have Guy and Regina up here and they're getting ready to go to South Florida. The danger is that we would look at that and say, they're the called ones. You know, they're the ones who are called to go and do the ministry. And I want to remind all of us that God's given us his spirit, and as his church, we're all part of that body, and we're all called to